Our world today is plagued by confusion and hopelessness. What is truth and where do we find it? Self-Evident is a platform that exists for the purpose of speaking the truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. We seek to honor Christ and point our audience to Him as the source of all truth. Welcome back to another episode. I'm your host, Alyssa, and with me is Jenna. And today we are welcomed by a very special guest. Dr. J is a retired research physicist and scientist who has done amazing work in the field of bionic encoding. He has worked with NASA and was an integral part of the team on the Apollo program. Dr. J has received high honors and recognition for his work. Truly, his success and accomplishments are extensive. Today, we are talking about a very groundbreaking piece of information, the preborn and emotions. You are going to want to stick around for this episode. Dr. J, thank you so much for coming on the show. Your final piece of research that you and I have talked about has been focusing on the subject of the preborn. Can you, for our audience, give a brief rundown of your research project?
I began the research project about 13 years ago when I began to question, when does life begin, like everyone else? So I set about using my background in physics to try to approach the subject to answer the question with existing evidence, some proven laws, some information that's acceptable by the scientific community, and using my education and knowledge of physics, I began to set about answering the question, when does life begin? And let's just face it, emotions and feelings are energy. And that's my field. That's physics, energy. So I began to approach then, where is energy stored? I mean, if we have feelings and emotions, it's in our bodies. The psychologists tell me it's in the brain. Well, I disagree with that. That's not part of physics. Physics, you can store energy in only one place, and that's in an electric or electromagnetic field. That's the only place you can store it. You can't put energy on the table. You can't put energy in your pocket. You've got to store it someplace. So where's the house that stores energy? That's an electromagnetic field. So I began to get on the path. Where's electromagnetic fields in the body? Well, everywhere. I mean, wherever there is an electric current, this is part of physics, simple, okay, or easy to understand. Wherever you have an electric current, there's an electric field that surrounds it. Oh. Then I began to probe my investigation and found out that current flows in the DNA molecule. Others have done studies and evidence to show that. Aha, there is the place I suspect feelings and emotions reside. It must reside in an electromagnetic field surrounding the DNA molecule, because if current flows in the DNA molecule, you have an electromagnetic field around it. So the next question I began to ask myself, when do you get these feelings and emotions? Well, it's not like a car manufacturer where you build a body and some point down in the assembly line, you dump in the engine. No. Feelings and emotions you get at the same time that you get your physical characteristics, your physical traits, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, how tall you are, what you look like. Everybody knows that, and this is part of genetics, that you get what you look like and how you are from your dad and your mother, and probably from their ancestors handed down. So that's part of genetics. Well, where is genetics? That's in the DNA molecule. So then I begin to think, well, if you get your physical characteristics, you must necessarily get your emotional characteristics at the same time, not later in your development. So that began to shed light on answering a question tentatively. You are who you are when you get your feelings and emotions. And when does that occur? Conception.
So That seems to be very groundbreaking information. What influence do you see this as having on the pro-life community?
God. That's all I could say. I'm a Christian person, and I believe that our duty in life is to be a service to God and be service to mankind. So right. I don't know for sure, but I believe I'm one of the only scientific investigators in the world that's ever approached feelings and emotions beginning at conception. There's lots of talk in history about when does feelings and emotions occur. And again, that goes back to some psychology strategies that says, well, it depends after you've reached a certain stage of growth and development and this and that, and it's in the brain and all that. Well, you know, DNA molecules are in every cell of your body. How can it be in just the brain? It's got to be every cell of your body. I mean, the brain is a wonderful invention by God. It's a computer. It's a human computer. All it does is take in information and then make decisions on that. Well, how can it make decisions if it doesn't have access to where your feelings and emotions are? It must. So it must be in every cell of your body. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I got started and why I got started and how important I think this is. This is ground effort and try to establish the in answering the questions, when does life begin and how does it begin and where are feelings and emotions? I believe that I'm the only investigator in the world that's ever approached this through physics, not just through biology, not just through genetics, not through psychology. This crosses over into all those fields, and it complements other fields and information. So it's based upon proven physics, sound accepted laws of physics, that energy is stored in electromagnetic field. And so that must be where feelings and emotions are because of their energy. Does that make sense?
It does, actually. And you state that emotions is the crux of the pro-life argument. Why do you think emotions and feelings are the end-all be-all?
Okay, it goes back to the question of, which is really a society question and a legal question also. If feelings and emotions happen at conception, then you are who you are at conception. You are a human being. Because what makes the definition of a human being? To me, it's when you get your feelings and emotions, not when you get your body. So if we accept the premise that feelings and emotions happened at conception, it raises the question, well, is it right to abort a human life so prematurely before it's born, because it is, by all physics, a human being? I mean, it meets the definition. My definition of a human being is when you get your feelings and emotions. So is it right to terminate that life? That life has a purpose to serve. We're not only terminating the life of this body, we're terminating its future purpose. That's something other people are not considering. This feeble life as a fetus has a purpose to serve in life, and we're terminating the life of the person before it has a chance to serve purpose. So that also raises the legal question, is this borderline of, let's just use a harsh word, murder. Now, there's one other aspect of my research that's very interesting. Let's use a court of justice analogy here. When a person has been accused of a crime and alleged to have had committed something, it's up to the defense to prove the guilt or not guilt. The not guilt is the attorney who is on your side. The defense attorney is going to try to prove you did wrong. In a court of justice, if there is a possibility that that person did not commit the crime, it's up to the defense to prove they did. So as long as there is a reasonable doubt of the conviction of this person, the person is not charged with a crime. Does that make sense?
Yes,
that happens every day in court. Well, I'm saying the same thing. I'm raising, with my research, a reasonable doubt that this person is or is not a human being. As long as there's a reasonable doubt, we have to ask the question, is abortion right to do? Is it the right to do it? Is it the legal thing to do?
Kind of going off of that, you, in your research, you've pointed to the significance of babies sucking their thumbs in the womb and how that relates to emotional development. Can you expound on that a little bit more?
People suck their thumbs after they're born for gratification, particularly if the born baby is subjected to something that's unpleasant or irritable or robs their peace, they'll put their thumb in their mouth. Now, I even remember as a baby doing that. And all babies do that. Why do they do that? Because it's a gratification. What are they gratifying? Their feelings and emotions. So the thumb sucking, to me, is an outward, overt sign of trying to be at peace with something, to retain or restore calm. Well, what's interesting, I got on the internet and I looked at various pictures, photographs. People have used sound to take pictures, imaging of fetuses.
Right.
What did I see? I saw their thumbs in their mouths. Why would a fetus, an unborn child, stick a thumb in its mouth? It's for the same reason after it's born it would stick their thumb in their mouth. Does that make sense? So that further raises the question, and to me it answers it, does that fetus have feelings and emotions? Well, if we accept, again, the hypothesis that sticking of the thumb in the mouth is a sign of gratifying your feelings, then I have to say yes, that an unborn fetus putting their thumb in their mouth is a sign of pleasure, gratification, of peace, of calm. Now, that has to be tested, and what I would love to see happen is someone in a pregnant mother do some sound imaging and then make some noise, some irritable noise, and see what happens with the fetus. Does it immediately put the thumb in the mouth to restore calm and peace? Or does it not? That's the question that needs to be answered. So that to me is an outward sign that a fetus is reacting to something. Now, if it isn't noise, let's take music. Let's take something calming, peaceful music. Do we see the same thing? Do we see a thumb in the mouth? Well, let's even go further than that. Let's take some sounds of nature. Let's take some nice soft wind or some breeze, or better still, some nice ocean waves. That's calming. That calming sense of being calm, does the fetus suck their thumb?
Yeah.
That's something that is very easy to find out. It's an easy experiment. It doesn't require anything. It uses available technology of sound. So that's something that would be easy to investigate.
Absolutely. That is so cool to hear about, too.
We see it, but we never think about it. People never think of it. Yeah. I never thought a fetus that would stick their thumb in their mouth. I didn't know they did that. But it isn't just one particular individual. All fetuses stick their thumbs in their mouth.
That's amazing. Because I think everyone knows that babies experience emotion and distress in the womb in different circumstances. But I don't think the research, like you're saying, has gone as far as to say, well, when does this happen? And you say that not only do the mother and the father give physical traits to a baby at conception, but they also give emotional traits.
Exactly. Now we're getting into some emotional genetics, which I coined a new term. I don't think that exists. Emotional genetics means that you get inherited your feelings and emotions from your ancestors, just as you do your physical traits. Now, does that make sense? Of course it does. If we accept that at conception, you get your physical traits inherited from your mother and father, don't you also get your feelings and emotions inherited? I have to say, yes. And is it from your feelings and emotions from your father and mother, or could that even be from a previous ancestor in your history line? You don't know. I mean, the color of your hair and your eyes, does it come from mother and father or your grandfathers or their grandfathers? So there may be a trail that would show the feelings and emotions come from different ancestors at different times in life or previous life. So the inheritance of these feelings and emotions is a side benefit of researching when do they occur, where are they, and how do they occur. Now we're talking about how they occur. They're, to me, there's got to be inherited. It doesn't make sense God would make an individual with physical characteristics inherited and not also emotional characteristics inherited. To me, they go at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And when you think about it, we have children that might have a certain physical and emotional characteristic. Maybe they struggle with their temper and someone will make the comment, oh, just like mom, or oh, just like dad. Not really thinking about, wow, we actually do get our emotional linkage and our tendencies from our parents.
Exactly. And I hard time discussing this matter with educated people who think they're in the know of everything. And you bring up some new idea, some imagination like this, and they don't accept it because it's not in their framework of academic standing, of their training, their education. So you talk to a psychologist about this, oh, no, it's in the brain. You talk to a geneticist about this, oh, no. Yes, we agree you inherited your physical characteristics, but energy, emotions, I don't know. You talk to a biologist about it, the same subject. I don't know. I can tell you about genetics of chromosomes and genes and all kinds of things having your physical characteristics, but when it comes to approaching them about feelings and emotions, they can't answer the question because it's physics and they're not physics oriented. Energy is physics, energy are feelings. Right. So that's why it's hard to discuss this new groundbreaking idea about, let's take another look at genetics.
It's also just very interesting to me that many educated minds, like what you're talking about, you know, all of these people who specialize in genetics or in attributes and things like that, right? Yeah. None of them really want to explore this idea.
No.
Why do you think that is?
I think because it raises putting their foot in legal issues. I think it also stepping into whether abortion is right or wrong. It becomes a philosophical issue rather than a technical issue or a scientific issue. That's where they draw the line. I think that's where they put up the blindfolds. They said, we're not going to go there. It's a judgment issue of answering a question, is it right or wrong to terminate a human at that stage of development or conception? It becomes out of the scientific realm and into the philosophical realm now.
Yeah.
And they want to stick to, and they should stick to the academic and scientific grounds of what they've been trained and know. So yeah. I hope that answers the question.
Definitely. And even more so along the vein of the philosophical realm, it really puts it in front of people who identify as Christians. Part of the reason we're made in God's image is three characteristics of an emotion, an intellect, and a will. And so the fact that we're talking about emotions here, that this is just another instance of how we are made in the image of God. And I think your research is amazing on this.
Well, it's not over. I think is just beginning. And my part, what am I doing with 13 years of research about this subject? I'm trying to get the word out to other scientists, to other investigators to, hey, join me in this effort and let's see where this goes, you know?
Right.
I mean, we've only just touched the very skin, outer skin of what this is. But I agree with you, we're giving this in order to do something with it when we're born. And to terminate that is to terminate the purpose that we were given in originally in the first place.
Absolutely.
So, have given this information research out nationally and internationally to every Right to Life organization that I could find. I'm probably 70 to 100, that many, okay?
Wow.
They've tried to ban me from sending emails because I am contrary to some administration's policies on abortion. In fact, several times I've gotten a notice saying that my information has been blocked or been truncated and censored. My email carrier browser, which I won't mention names, and also a censorship by whoever might be listening in or watching what I'm doing. But that doesn't deter me once a bit, because the business of science is to establish truth, to explore and discover truth. That's what we do. That's what a scientist does. That's what a scientist is to try to unravel truth from non-truth, truth from misinformation. So all I have tried to do in my research is be objective in trying to establish truth. I have no political banner to wave, but I do have the attempt to establish what is truth and what is not truth. And we owe that to ourselves. In the decisions that we make on whether abortion is right or wrong, we need to be vetted with what is the truth. If you ask pro-life people, to me, what they're doing is they're doing good things. They're having discussion groups. They're having marches. They're having campaigns. They're putting out literature. But based on what? You're doing things, but what is your premise? Where's the fact? Where's the evidence?
Right.
Where's the proof? How can you do what you're doing and just say, well, I believe in this? This is beyond beliefs. You have to understand, it's not what you believe, it's what's right.
And the two playground questions that we always are supposed to ask are why and who says. And as you've demonstrated today, there is proof. There is evidence that you can go back to.
From a physics standpoint, and as a physicist, I would have to say I'm convinced.
Yes.
I'm convinced that life begins at conception because the physical and the energy go together at the same time. Okay. Well, I've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me have a platform to share my information and my views. I appreciate that. Whether people agree with me or not agree, it doesn't matter. At least we've been able to talk about it. I hope we can continue this in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. J, for your time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Self-Evident. We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. J. Truly, God has created us fearfully and wonderfully. Until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.